You're listening to The Profile.
Welcome to The Profile podcast. God calls us to use our influence to share his love and goodness. For some, this is in leadership. I'm Andy Peck, and for the past 19 years, I've been interviewing Christians to find out how to lead better. Taking the initiative isn't always easy, so I hope you'll benefit from this latest conversation. The Profile podcast is brought to you by Premier Christianity magazine. Subscribe today and get full online access and the print magazine every month at premierchristianity.com.
The Leadership Show with Andy Peck.
So welcome to another conversation designed to support and encourage Christians who lead. If you're a regular listener to Premier, you will have had the opportunity to hear of the work of World Vision UK. Among many other areas, their child sponsorship program is featured very highly. So I'm delighted today to be joined by Fola Komolafe, MBE, the CEO of World Vision UK, to learn about the blessings and challenges of leading the charity. World Vision as a whole works in over 100 countries and has helped an astonishing 200 million children in education, food, water and empowerment. Welcome, Fola, to the Leadership Show.
Thank you. It's lovely to be here.
I understand you just returned from one of those 100 countries, Malawi. Give us some brief highlights. They must be top in your brain, in your memory.
It is. And Malawi is just one of the 100 countries that World Vision works in. And Malawi is also in the lowest and most deprived countries in the world. So it's in the lower Human Development Index. So it's a country really that has a lot of need. It's a country that World Vision has been in for many, many years. And World Vision UK in particular has supported the Malawi community since the inception of World Vision in Malawi. And coming from Malawi, I think some of the things that strike me from that visit is the brand recognition of World Vision in Malawi. I mean, I was on a plane and people left to my right knew World Vision, walk around the community. Everybody knew World Vision. And one of the things they knew World Vision for was World Vision staying power. So Malawi is a country that has had a lot of cyclones and different climate conditions every year repeatedly. And World Vision stays. That was the unique thing. It didn't matter whether it was El Nino or this cyclone or the other. World Vision has been there to support the community. So that was a standout highlight for me in terms of the brand recognition. I think another thing that stood out for me, and I met with the president during that trip as well. Oh, and wow. In February of this year, World Vision actually handed over 395 construction and development projects in Malawi that we had been involved in to the government, and to the president. And he said something which I would like to quote, because it's always good when you hear somebody else talk about the organization rather than just me. And these were the words of the president. He said, "There are a lot of organizations that reaches out to the poor, but World Vision is the best. You are helping government in alleviating poverty, especially for those living in rural areas. You're doing a commendable job." And that's World Vision in Malawi, from clean water to villages, to toilets in schools for girls who were not able to attend schools and reducing absenteeism rates. Bible clubs were very interesting because World Vision had 1,000 Bible clubs about 3 years ago. They're now 12,000 across the whole of Malawi. I also saw some projects to do with school meals, early child school meals, which World Vision started during HIV. When the HIV AIDS was really rampant and still exists today. And we still do school meals for children. And there were also some climate resilience programs. So all in all, it was really good to see the impact of the generosity of a lot of our supporters actually really transforming lives in Malawi. So it was great value for money. There are over 32 area programs. And just to give you an idea, an area program represents about 20,000 people or 8,000 children on average. So World Vision has about 32 or 33 of this in the whole of Malawi, and it's incredible when you think about the scale and the size of the work of a few people, just a few team, a little team on the ground, but are able to expand across significantly. So it was really great being in Malawi. It was great, you know, seeing how, you know, the teams really, really are delivering. It was good seeing the children, community transformation and leadership. And it was good seeing the adaptable models that World Vision has put in place over the years.
I mean, there's been a lot of talk following in humanitarian aid circles about the importance of moving away from a handset mindset to empowerment. It sounds like Malawi actually needed significant kind of handout because they're in crisis. But I guess that's the move is to help to empower them as well.
It is. And I understand what people mean by handout. But World Vision has never been a handout organization. World Vision has been an organization that partners with the community. So we've never seen our role as coming in and handing out anything. What we're doing is we're working in partnerships with communities. We're enabling them. It's a scriptural principle, you know, it's a scriptural principle where those who have help those who don't have, so that they have, and then they in turn help us in different ways. And I think that's the partnership model that World Vision talks about and embraces and you see on the ground. So I'll give you some examples. So when I go to the ground and I visit the work and I talk in these different communities, it's not World Vision that's speaking, it's the communities that are speaking. Is the community leaders that are saying, this is what we want, this is what our communities need. And thank you, World Vision, not just for enabling us to deliver it to the community, but also to understand how to sustain it. So you've given us governance models. You've given us a mindset shift. You know, we've got something called Empowered Worldview, which is about how do we change people's mindset around poverty so that they can sustain themselves. So World Vision comes. Yes, we stay, but we also go. And during that period of time, from the beginning of a community-led model, and the model is community-led because we're partnering with them, from the beginning of a community-led model, we build sustainability into it so that from the beginning, the community knows that this is yours and it will always be yours. It's not World Vision's project. It's the community that owns that project. So things like sustainability is important. And I know we may come onto it later on, but our chosen model for child sponsorship, it's not about us given, it's about we being chosen by the community to come alongside to support them. So yes, handouts, that's not World Vision. You know, empowerment, yes, definitely. Sustainability, yes, definitely. Community-led, yes, definitely. We serve the community. We're called to serve and not necessarily to be top down in our approach of how we deliver to them.
I wasn't meaning to imply that handouts are always a bad thing, because if you're in crisis, you need someone to help you. So, you know, but it's ongoing. It's when you become so dependent that you're not enabled. And it sounds like you're enabling. And you mentioned the chosen approach. And again, there are a number of child sponsorship charities. Your approach is very different, isn't it?
It is. It is. You know, and Chosen is one of them. But before I even go into Chosen, I want to give you an example, because this week, a gentleman came into our office. His name is Samuel. And Samuel is in the UK now and he's studying a master's, you know, and he's so grateful and passionate, you know, about World Vision, because Samuel grew up in Ghana, you know, and he was looking for a way to connect to World Vision UK to just say, thank you. You know, he grew up in Ghana. His dad died when he was six. His mother had four children. He was the only boy. Life was really, really tough. They had no electricity. They had no food. Education was tough. It was a real difficult environment for him. No social amenities, no shoes. You know, so Samuel could not go to school. But at the age of 12, World Vision started working in Samuel's community. And even though Samuel was not the child that was sponsored, and this is the uniqueness of World Vision, even though Samuel was not the child that was sponsored, his whole community benefits from that sponsorship. So we have evidence that for every child that is sponsored, you know, four other children actually benefit from that sponsorship. So count many years later on, as a result of Samuel living in a community that World Vision had a sponsored child in, Samuel is now in the UK. And he came into the office this week, you know, to meet with the teams to say, thank you. Thank you for coming into my community. Thank you for child sponsorship. Thank you, because now I am studying my master's in the UK. I mean, that story in itself talks to the credibility and the sustainability of the model and the approach that World Vision has in terms of child sponsorship. So yes, Chosen is also quite unique, because we've chosen, what we've done is we've turned the model a little bit on the edge. So most people will know child sponsorship in the sense that, you know, I get shown a picture of 20 children and I choose and I say, okay, I want this one or I want that child to sponsor in this country. Chosen doesn't do that. Chosen says the child is the one that needs to be doing the choosing, because it's that child's life. It's not about me. I am blessed to be able to come alongside this child and give them an opportunity to have fullness of life. But that child really has the power to choose. So rather than I choosing, the child now looks at the picture of 20 people and decides that's the one that I want to be my sponsor. And it's amazing when you hear the reasons why children choose sponsors. You know, it could be as simple as, you know, I liked the smile, or they remind me of something. But there's an immediate connection from that child to the sponsor that they have chosen. And the power is all with them. So the sponsor now gets to experience the challenge of waiting to be chosen. And will I be chosen? Maybe I won't be chosen. Maybe all these children will look at me and decide, don't really like Fola for whatever reason, you know. And it's just the change in power dynamics. So we do have a unique model. We have a community-led model. We have a model, you know, where the power is in the hands of the child. We have a model where it's not just about that one child, but it's about the other four and the community transformation. So yes, there's the individual transformation, but there's a peer transformation, and there's also the community transformation that's built into that one model that we have. So that makes us unique, and we're excited about it, and we're excited about what we're seeing as a result of what's happening on the ground.
Excellent. Have you seen an increase in child sponsorship through this model? How's things in terms of your promotion of that work?
We see opportunity. We see opportunity with the model. You know, we see opportunity when we talk to churches, when we talk to Christian audiences, we see the excitement and the renewal in their faces when we talk about this model. When we go to festivals, you know, and we get the opportunity to engage on this new model, it feels very fresh. You know, it feels very different, and people are excited about it. So we see it as an area of growth, you know, for World Vision in the UK. As you may know, the child sponsorship, the old child sponsorship model, where it has been declining for a number of years. But this is fresh. This is very, very different. So for us, when we think about the Chosen model, we see lots of opportunities, and we are now, we've just recently recruited a director of ministry who is supporting us in sort of engaging with networks and churches and the Christian community around how they can be part of what we think is a very exciting way forward.
Follow the Leadership Show aims to support and encourage Christians who lead in what I call the three C's: church, charity, commercial world, mainly the non-believing world, really. You lead and have led in all three arenas. So I guess you're uniquely placed to compare the three. Have you found yourself leading differently in each? How would you compare them?
So my life has been a journey, Andy, is what I'll say to you. You know, I very much came from the corporate commercial world into the charity leadership world. I mean, I've led in church most of my life. You know, I mean, my husband and I have the wonderful privilege of a new church plant that we lead in Milton Keynes. But before then, I was in a 20 years leadership role with another church. So I've sort of done all of it together. And I was on the board of World Vision. So it's sort of been a journey. And I think it's very difficult to lead differently. Otherwise, I'd have to be three personalities. in different roles. I think the trick for me is I have to stay true to my Christian values. So whether I'm leading in a commercial capacity, or I'm leading in church, or I'm leading a charity, my Christian values, I have to uphold that across as the foundation for my leadership, because that's where my inspiration comes from. You know, I rely on God in leadership. Leadership is a gift. You know, it's one of the gifts that God gives to his body. So I see it very much as a gift, you know. So I can't stay too far away from the source of that gift, you know, in terms of leading. So my Christian values and the Christian connections are very different. Of course, how it shows itself up in those different areas might be different. So in a charity that is a faith-based charity, like, you know, we had communion this morning, we had devotions on Tuesday. In the commercial world, we most likely didn't have communion in the morning, you know, but it showed itself up in character, you know, in the way I conduct my leadership, in my style, in the way I connect with people. So the expressions might be different in all those different areas. In church, it's different as well. You know, there's, you know, I'm me in church, you know, it's me, brothers, sisters in the Lord, you know, having fun and enjoying Christ. So the expressions might be different, but the underlying, you know, Christian values will be the same across all three. I think if I look at another thing that has been to me in leading across all three areas is all of them have needed clarity of vision. You know, so from a leadership point of view, the clarity of vision and purpose and mission, whether that is a vision that we believe as we're doing World Vision, it has been given to us by God, you know, a mission that has been given to the local church by God, or a vision that a corporate entity is striving to achieve. I think from a leadership point of view, the second thing that I think from a style has been the clarity of vision, mission, purpose, and how I communicate that. So language may be different. Again, talking about the expressions, language may be different when I'm communicating vision and mission in my church to when I'm communicating it in World Vision or when I'm communicating it in the commercial space. But ultimately, what I'm bringing to it is clarity and communication of vision. And I think the third thing for me, if I look at all three, will be in my leading is I am a very people person, you know, and it's just who I am. So my connection to people is the same. You know, I connect whether I'm sat in a boardroom or whether I'm sat in reception or whether I'm in the car park on a Sunday, which I love doing anyway, and I still do to today, or whether I'm in the pulpit preaching. It doesn't really bother me. You know, I connect to people. So I think in all those three spheres as well, the connection to people has been something from a leadership point of view that has been consistent. So yes, expression might be different, you know, as I said, but really those three core things for me have always been the same from, you know, from my Christian values to clarity of vision and connection to people.
Brilliant. I love your three C's as well. That's fabulous. Thank you.
Yeah, I thought you would, Sandy.
Thank you very much. How do you decide on priorities, follow? I mean, you've got, you know, you're ahead of a big organization. You've just been to Malawi for some time, so you had to decide whether that was a priority for you. What are your abiding principles for deciding on time use?
I think the first thing in how I use my time, and it will play back to something I said earlier on, is I need to make sure that my time is being spent focused around vision and mission. You know, so the clearer we are around what we're trying to achieve, you know, and what we've been called to achieve, then it's easier for me to decide what is important at my level, what I need to delegate to somebody else to do, or what we say no to, because it would be a distraction from the core mission that we have been called to do. So I think the first thing for me is that level of clarity and focus on purpose, you know. So as long as I can align things to purpose, that is the first thing that helps me in terms of deciding what is a top priority. I think the second thing is around, and this will sound commercial, is around what works, you know, what is the return on my time, you know, so I don't have a lot of time. And that return is not always a financial return. It could also be from a spiritual point of view, you know, or, you know, from a calling point of, but what is the return on the time that I'm spending? You know, is it going to have huge returns, or is it just, you know, the value for money thing? Is the return small compared to the effort that is going to require me? So I sort of think about the returns from my time, you know, and where I spend the time, and the transformation or the change or what it will enable to happen, you know, and the pace at which that will happen. And of course, because I'm a Christian, everything comes to prayer. I have to pray, you know, and I have to discern by the Holy Spirit as well what God is saying to me. And sometimes, as you will see in the Bible, you know, the Holy Spirit will say, no, don't go there, you know, don't do that. You know, so it doesn't matter what the focus is or the returns is. If God ultimately says, don't do it, then we don't do it, you know, because that's what it means to be led and to be a Christian. So I think for me, it's a combination of those three things. It's alignment and focus to mission and purpose. Is it for me, or do I delegate it down? Is about the returns that I get from it. You know, am I, you know, how does that feel like in terms of Malawi 1 week? That's a lot of my time, you know. So what is the return on spending 1 week in Malawi, and how does that compare to something else that I could be using my time doing? And ultimately, God has the final say, you know, prayer and discernment.
Well, it kind of takes me on to my next question, Fola, which was how you stay fresh spiritually, and obviously prayer is at the heart of that. Have you got other disciplines or habits that you like to use in your life?
Yes, I do. I do. And I think some of it, you know, I've learned with experience over the years. And I talk about rhythms, you know, I talk about rhythms in my life, you know, and there's a particular rhythm that I have that helps me, you know, and it ties me back to faith, and it ties me back to the source of all my strength and inspiration. So my rhythm, for example, and I've said this before, is I'm an early person. So mornings are my thing. I'm not good after 10:30 the night, you know, but get me at 4 a.m. I'm good. You know, so I'm a real morning person, and I've had to learn, you know, when am I best, and I'm best in the morning. So my rhythm every day, as much as I can keep it, especially Monday to Friday, is I train myself that my spirit must always wake up first. Now, I've worked in the corporate world where, you know, my mind is full, you know, and he wants to start the day with solving all the 10, I'm making all the 10 decisions that I need to make. But over time, I found out that that doesn't help me, you know. So I have trained myself that my spirit wakes up first. And that's really great. And what does that mean? That means I get up in the morning, you know, usually there's a song playing. Usually there's worship going on. Usually there's something going on. I get my dog and we go for a prayer walk. You know, we walk around my village where I live. I mean, that dog can pray, honestly. I think if you interviewed my dog, Andy, you would get all my trade secrets, you know. And we walk around the village and I just pray. And it's an open prayer. It's not a rehearsed prayer, but it helps me to just pour my heart and to listen to God and to bring him into every day and share my problems with him and, you know, allow him to encourage me, give me it's a wonderful time. And usually once I've done that, and part of doing that whilst working is I'm also getting some exercise in. I need my exercise because that is so important. So it could be that I come back on the treadmill and work. So I do those things together. And it's only after I've done that that I allow my mind to start thinking about the order of the day. And that has sustained me, and that has kept my energy up, because by the time I get into the day, I feel connected, I feel refreshed, I feel encouraged, I feel clarity in my head space around what I need to do for the day. So those rhythms help me. Family is also important to me. So I have 3 grown-up kids now. They're 30, 27, 26, I think. You know, they'll forgive me if I've got the ages wrong, you know. But they're around about that. That's important to me. So my weekends, I try as much as possible to spend as much time with my family, with my husband, and just down tools, because being CEO of World Vision UK and then planting a church, being pastor on Sunday, and with all the demands as well beyond Sunday, can take, you know, can be quite demanding. So I need to be very intentional, coming back to what you asked me earlier on about priorities. I need to be very intentional about protecting certain times and certain things that are important to me in my diary.
Wow, that's brilliant, Fonna. Time's pretty well defeated us. It's just a time to encourage listeners to find out more, maybe the website of World Vision or other ideas you might have.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I just want to say thank you, first of all, to all the listeners, because some of them will already be supporting us and sponsoring their child. And I hope I've been able to help them to see just the impact, you know, it's beyond words, of what their sponsorship means to people like Samuel or people in Malawi where I went to visit. We have programs, you know, that there's still children right now who need sponsorship, you know, communities that still need help. So the best way, yes, is the website. If you could go to the website, you'll find out more about us, or you could call our supporter care. So we've got a supporter care number, which is 01908-841010. 01908-841010. And they're open 9 to 5 every weekday. So our supporters and viewers could also call that number, or you can email us at supporter@worldvision.org.uk. So three things: the website, the supporter care number, or email supporter@worldvision.org.uk, and we will come back to you.
Brilliant. Well, Fonna, it's been a delight. Time's flown past, but it's been a delight to chat with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It's been wonderful. And thanks for having me on, Andy.
That was my conversation with Fonna Komolafe, MBE, the CEO of World Vision UK. Her surname is spelled K-O-M-O-L-A-F-E. She mentioned how you can get in touch with World Vision. So the supporter care number is 01908-841010. And you can go to the website worldvision.org.uk. For dog lovers who are frustrated, I didn't ask what a dog was. It's a boxer dog and its name is Tyson. So there you go. So a great joy to have you with us today. You can always, of course, find more conversations about leadership. You go to the Premier.plus website or app that Premier runs. Together with lots of other content, of course, on Premier. Or you can go to the podcast provider and type in the leadership file or the leadership show, and you'll get hundreds of more conversations. So my joy, Andy Peck, to have your company today, and look forward to the next time. Bye for now.
The Leadership Show with Andy Peck. To get in touch, email andy.peck@premier.org.uk.
You've been listening to The Profile in association with Premier Christianity Magazine.